This is an encore edition of the Hour of Intercession.
About anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Verses 1 through 8, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Then looking briefly at Joshua chapter 1 in the Old Testament, Joshua 1, starting at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verses 1 through 9, Joshua chapter 1. Father, we thank you for your love, your grace, your sovereignty. Thank you for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being sovereign over all nations, all peoples, all communities. Father, we thank you, Father, for the Slavic Gospel Association, and thank you for the privilege of having them on the broadcast today. Thank you for the work you've called them to in working in the areas, Ukraine and Russia and many other countries in that region that is dealing with some very heavy conflict during this time. Father, flood those nations with a greater portion of your Spirit, mercy, and grace, Lord. More and more stir the church to be the strong, courageous, and loving and merciful and compassionate church you'd have us to be, being your ambassadors in the midst of this situation, and pour out your mercy and grace mightily upon this the situation so that we're just believing you, Lord, that the conflict will come to a speedy end. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer at this time.
Father, we pause to look past the events of the day and all that's going on in our lives individually and in the world, to rejoice in your Son who bore our sins in his body on a tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, it says in 1 Peter. Father, we're so thankful for your precious Son, Jesus, and the peace we have amidst life's storms because of our relationship with Him, with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Reminder to our listeners, we're gathering stories now to play during our upcoming spring share-a-thon, and we're hoping to hear from you. If the Lord has used American Family Radio in your life to strengthen you, to encourage you and your family in your walk with the Lord, we'd like to hear from you. Please share your story. We'd like to hear your AFR story, and if AFR has been God's vessel to encourage and strengthen you. Again, we're hoping to hear from you. Call and share for a minute or two, and you just might hear your testimony on our upcoming spring share-a-thon a few weeks away. Our listener story line is 1-877-876-8893. Again, that's 1-877-876-8893. We hope to hear from you. We are honored to have with us once again Michael Johnson. He's the president of the Slavic Gospel Association. Michael, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you very much.
Okay, great to have you once again. And some of our listeners may recall that we've had the privilege of having you on a number of times in the past, but obviously not quite under these same circumstances. So we're going to get it. We want to hear from you and have you to share from your perspective as a ministry that is working with people on the ground in Ukraine and Russia as well. But if you would take a moment to first kind of reintroduce yourself and the ministry of the Slavic Gospel Association.
Okay, well, our ministry was established in 1934 by an immigrant from Belarus by the name of Peter Danica. And it was right around the time that the persecution was ramping up against the Christians of all faiths, by the Communist Party. And so our focus in those countries was the covert distribution of Bibles and material resources to Christians in those countries, as well as we had a significant radio ministry where we eventually were broadcasting Christian Russian language radio programming that we developed through organizations like Transworld Radio and FEBC and HCJB to those countries roughly 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so the ministry really did keep the gospel preached, and the people had access to God's word as a result of the broadcast, where people would listen to the broadcast, whether it be in their attics or in their cellars through shortwave radio. So when the wall came down, we connected with one of the largest group of evangelical churches, the Baptist churches. Those churches were established in the early 1800s, mm-hmm. and we are committed to serving them and their work in training pastors and sponsoring church planters and sending them out, and then equipping them for resources and ministries all throughout their countries.
Okay. Well, so what nations in that region do you have a chance to minister in? Can you?
Well, it basically all the countries of the former Soviet Union. The main countries being Russia, Ukraine, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Uzbekistan, and all the countries that essentially made up the former Soviet Union. Mm-hmm. And then we have significant work in Israel among the Russian population there. In Israel, roughly a quarter to a third of the population of Israel is Russian. And mm-hmm. so there's a significant network of Baptist churches in Israel that we serve as well. In fact, I just got back from Israel a couple of days ago, where I spent the week visiting our partners over there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, well, Michael, as we begin, I want to ask, would you specifically pray for listeners to really have ears to hear what the Lord would have them hear? One of our hopes is that certainly believers will be stirred to pray more effectively and faithfully as they listen to some of what you share about where you're working and what you've observed. But also, there may be those that will be just moved to give financially to help support you in the work you're doing and helping to work with and support the churches in Ukraine and Russia in that region as well. So would you pray for them just to have the ears to hear all the Lord would have them hear today?
Yeah. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the opportunity to proclaim your works to the listening audience of this wonderful radio network. And I pray, Father, that you would open up the hearts and the minds of the people who are listening to this broadcast. I'll be sharing work and ministry of people who are ministering a great sacrifice. Their churches are being attacked. The cities and the towns that they live in are under missile attack right now. Many of these churches and individuals are in their basements seeking safety from what's happening on the ground. And they need our prayer. They need your protection, and they need your strength. And these are very special people. These are descendants of pastors and families and leaders who gave their lives for the gospel during the years under communism. So these churches are being built upon a great foundation of sacrifice and the blood of the martyrs, and they are just immutable. So thank you, Father, for the opportunity to share the work that's going on, and I pray that you work in the hearts of the people, that they will pray. But for those who wish to provide support, we pray that there will be an opportunity for that as well. So we commit this time to you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, again, Michael, the name, the specific name of your ministry, of course, is the Slavic Gospel Association, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the term Slavic, basically, does that refer specifically to the former Soviet Union, pretty much, and
well,
just
it's
that?
The Slavic, it's that group of people that... that make up the Slavic people. That is people who are typically Russian, and the majority of the population of the countries that we serve would be considered Slavic people. But also, many of those countries are in the Central Asian countries. So, when the wall came down, many of those that would be considered to be Slavic moved out of those countries. So. So we still serve those individuals as well.
Okay then. Well, you know, now something I think that's probably a significant issue that we're dealing with today is many of the people, many of the individuals, adults in our culture, or young people especially, they don't know a world when the Soviet Union existed. Of course, you know, many having been born before the wall came down, and many even over in that region who are experiencing this probably have a much smaller understanding of what's going on in view of the fact that all they've known is a nation that was never, their whole life, it was not under that. Just the whole communist regime that existed before the wall came down. So that's probably helpful for believers to be mindful of in view of all that we see going on. But you've had a chance to actually talk with some of the believers even today, correct?
Yes. I've been in conversations on a regular basis with the leadership of those churches over there, specifically. In fact, yesterday I was on a call with the leaders of the Baptist churches representing every country in the former Soviet Union, as well as certain Eastern European countries. And the topic of the call was to pray for the situation in Ukraine. And so it was a time of great humility, a time of great unity, where all the churches over there are unified behind the work of the churches, particularly in Ukraine, as well as those churches in Eastern Europe that are ministering to those refugees that are crossing the border into their country, so that God might be glorified, so that people's physical needs might be met through their efforts. And then also doors might be open for those individuals to hear God's word and come to saving faith in Jesus Christ in their time of distress.
Right. Well, we're coming up on a break, and we're going to pick up on the other side then. We have as our phone guest today Michael Johnson. He's the president of the Slavic Gospel Association, a ministry working both in Ukraine and Russia, as well as other areas in that part of the world. We'll be right back.
somewhere, why not here? If you gotta start sometime, why not now? If we gotta start somewhere, I say here. If we gotta start sometime, I say now. Through the fog, there is hope in the distance. From cathedrals to third world missions, love will fall to the earth like a crashing wave. Tonight's the night for the sinner.
Music of Toby Mac with City on Our Knees. Father, we thank you again for your sovereignty over all nations and all countries, all peoples. And thank you for your sovereignty over Ukraine, over Russia, and all the former Soviet Union nations. Father, send forth many more laborers into all those nations, Lord, the laborers that you have in mind that will be your vessels to accomplish your will, to minister the gospel, to help bring relief, to bring food, clothing, whatever is needed in view of the fact that so many people are now refugees who maybe a few months had no idea that anything like this would be something they would have to experience. Father, flood them with mercy, grace, and peace in much greater measure. And Father, more and more with every passing day, help us as the church to be the church that you want us to be, praying, supporting financially, and doing whatever you would have us to do to help be supportive of this situation. Thank you for your sovereignty. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're privileged to have as our phone guest today Michael Johnson. He's the president of the Slavic Gospel Association. And Michael, just want to ask this question too. I have in front of me, it was, I guess, a news release that's it's entitled, Ukraine, Russia, Local Churches Launch Brave Aid Effort in War Zone. And it mentions also that the Slavic Gospel Association supports life-saving outreach. Can you tell us a little bit about, the article is basically sharing some of what you're doing in the region at this time. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Basically, we are connected to roughly somewhere between 2,200 and 2,300 churches spread across Ukraine through the Baptist Union. And so when back in 2014, when Russian separatists came into the eastern part of Ukraine, that area has basically been a war zone since then. And so we have been raising funds to distribute humanitarian aid to those people who are still in the war zone. They have nowhere else to go, ministering to them through local churches and providing food and other resources to them. And many of those people come to faith in Christ, and they're being discipled in local churches in that region and orphanages and other places and the health facilities we've been helping as well. But obviously, it's a much broader conflict now. And so the leadership of the Baptist churches in Ukraine have identified 8 churches in strategic locations through which we're connected. So we'll be raising funds. They essentially purchased the food and the resources over there, and then they will be distributing through these large churches to smaller churches in their regions as well as individuals, so that they can reach as many people as possible. And knowing that this was coming, the leadership of those churches put plans in place to make this happen. So for us, you know, we're raising funds. We have the ability to get the funds into those countries. They'll purchase the goods. They'll purchase the resources. They'll connect with people and minister to them both in word and deed. And obviously, every encounter opens up an opportunity to share the gospel with these people. Mm-hmm. And they're just there, and they've stayed behind. And You know, these are brave, courageous individuals that realize that God has allowed this to happen for the advancement of his purposes. And his purposes are to see more and more people come to faith in Christ in those countries.
Okay. So if someone listening would like to give financially or learn more about how to be praying specifically for the Slavic Gospel Association and giving so that you can pass that the monies on to help the churches over there, how can they do that?
Simply go to our website. It's sga.org. That's sga.org. And there's an opportunity to pray. I mean, and in getting on that list, you'll be receiving daily updates, I think 5 days a week, of specific prayer requests and stories about how God is working in the lives of people over there. But then there's also an opportunity to provide gifts for food distribution, as well as what we call family packs that will help people as they have been displaced from their homes and their cities, towns, and villages. And again, all this is being coordinated through local churches and church workers. Again, not only in Ukraine, we have work in Russia through the churches in Russia because people have been displaced there as well, but also in some of the Eastern European countries that we have connections to also to minister to the refugees from Ukraine.
Right. Okay. Now,
so that God gets the glory.
I mean, that's right.
And that's what we're all about, is we're here to lift up the churches so that they would be lights in these communities, and so that ultimately God will get the glory.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, now, so some of the individuals in the churches that you've spoken to today and yesterday, though, did I understand correctly? You said many of those are actually in hiding, even as you get the chance to speak with them.
Yeah, because certain cities have been targeted, and some of those cities are they're under attack with missiles and ground fire,
right.
And so these pastors most of the pastors have chose to stay in their cities to minister to the people in the communities, but when the fighting starts, they end up they're hunkered down in their basements, whether it be in their home or their churches, and many of the displaced people in those communities have come to the church for refuge, and they've set up opportunities, bedding, and shelter for them during this time, so that they'll have a place to stay them and their families. So there's a lot of that going on right now. We support, we have 150 roughly, church planters that we sponsor, and we're getting reports back from them that they're seeing a lot of need that they're in the process of ministering to. So so the church is at work. We have a seminary outside of Kiev. That particular area is under siege, and so the administration of the seminary, they're in the basement now, waiting this out to see what's going to happen, because there's fighting that's taking place all around them.
Right.
Particularly as the Russian soldiers close in on Kiev, and it's a war zone. It's like think World War II. I mean, these are the kinds of scenes that you would experience if you fought in World War II. I mean, it's a pitched battle between the Ukrainians and the Russians.
Well, and praise God for the courageous pastors that chose to stay behind to minister and to be God's vessels there, because of course that just speaks volumes for that's what. Well, the reality is all of us as believers are called to courageously follow Christ in whatever way whatever that means. And that can mean many different things in different circumstances. So we thank God for those persons.
That is so true. That is true. So true. Why for us, I just feel privileged just to carry their bags. I mean, these are real Christians. I mean, these are dedicated real Christians whose life is is to serve others, no matter what the cost.
Right.
And I just have to say that they're worthy of our support. They're worthy of our prayers. And they're worthy of our, you know, financial contributions. And it will, and however, whatever financial contributions are made, it will go a long way toward meeting people's needs, ministering to them, showing them the love of Christ, and helping them to understand, you know, the true gospel of Jesus Christ and what we're asked to do in order to live eternally with God. And that is repentance through reconciliation with our God. Jesus Christ.
Amen. Now, share the website one more time if people want to give financially or learn more about how to pray.
SGA.org.
All right. And you said they also can sign up to get daily updates on things going on through the ministry as well.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. And the way that what we're offering is not just, you know, specific stories, but, you know, we've taken every story and we've turned it into, we've got some very smart, theologically sound individuals on our staff who take those stories and turn them into daily devotionals. And so every morning at 7 o'clock, they'll receive an email, you know, with a wonderful story about how God has impacted the life of individuals, and then some principles that will help them in their daily walk with God.
Right. And, you know, of course, you know, Michael, I think of this, that the fact that Ukraine has been attacked by the Russian military, it creates a situation where many people in the world will never experience. Their people that have been living their lives as they normally would all of a sudden have become refugees. They have to pack up, leave their homes, leave basically almost all their goods, and carry their family in order to stay alive. And so, obviously, for our listeners, giving financially to help provide food, clothing, shelter, those sorts of things to help, as you said, can be so much more important than we may fully grasp because we haven't walked in that situation ourselves, you know. So
that's correct. Absolutely correct. Absolutely correct.
And now, I think you also mentioned that some of the churches that you work with have actually been the church buildings have been destroyed as well then?
Well, we haven't seen any actual churches being destroyed yet, but we have. But they are experiencing, as the fighting intensifies, you know, a lot of the fighting is getting closer and closer to some of the churches, and hence the fact that many people are hunkered down in the basement of those churches, and only God knows what's going to happen. But they're in a very dangerous place.
Right.
They need our prayers for God's protection.
You know, something
that all over them.
Right. Something that came to my mind, too, is, you know, especially in view of the fact that obviously they're in a war situation. But, you know, along with that, the fact is the whole world we live in is dangerous in many other ways. And, you know, one thing that comes to my mind is it's so wise for believers in all circumstances to pray Psalm 91 absolutely every day because it's a wonderful tool for divine protection. And, of course, it's a great tool for the believers in Ukraine and Russia to be praying as well. But, again, the world is a dangerous place even along with the reality of a war zone, too. So I would just, Father, thank you for the opportunity for your church to be praying in that part of the world as well as all over the world. Lord, I pray that you'd stir many believers to really take the wonderful tool of Psalm 91 and begin to pray and stand on it, Lord, and to use it for the powerful tool for divine protection, especially in a war situation like they're facing in Jesus' name. Help them to be wise enough to do just that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, you know, also I know your article mentioned about it referred to children, and it said children full of fear as crisis escalates. And of course, it's tragic to think of the many ways children are affected when war comes to a nation as this as this has. Any further thoughts you want to share about that reality in this situation?
Well, I do want to say that right now there are certain parts of Ukraine where basically you can't purchase gas to put in your car. The shelves are bare. It's difficult to acquire resources to feed families. When we think about the least of these, we have a significant we fund a program called Orphans Reborn, where we fund church workers and pastors to go into orphanages throughout Ukraine to minister to orphans, and they literally go in there every single week to build relationships, build mentoring relationships, share from the Word of God, so that on their 18th birthday, when they force them out of the orphanages, they have a place to go rather than simply ending up on the streets as drug dealers and prostitutes. So these orphans living in these orphanages don't have access to basic necessities to meet the needs of these orphans. We really need to pray for them, because these truly are the least of these. I'm very concerned about that. And part of what we're going to be doing in equipping those churches is to reach out to those churches that are ministering in these state-run facilities so that they can meet the needs of these children.
Okay, then. We'll pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest today is Michael Johnson. He's the president of the Slavic Gospel Association, a ministry working in Ukraine, Russia, and that region of the world. We'll be right back. Fred Hammond with If My People. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Michael Johnson. He's the president of the Slavic Gospel Association, a ministry that is working with people on the grounds in Ukraine and Russia and that region of the world. So we're inviting and encouraging every single listener, pray much for the ministry of the Slavic Gospel Association, for Michael and his co-workers with this ministry. And pray much for the church in Russia and Ukraine as well. Now, Michael, I wanted to ask you about this specifically, too. A part of a news release that I had the privilege to read that it talked about some of the work that you're doing. It mentioned that there are Russian pastors in Ukraine and Ukrainian pastors in Russia. It's impossible to separate them. So I guess, in part, you're dealing with maybe families that have people in Ukraine and or Russia as well. Is that right?
Yeah. Because when you think back at the Soviet years, those countries were basically held together by force in many respects. And different cultures, different societies, different dialects. But it's interesting that one of the things that God did was that the the communists forced everybody to learn the Russian language. Mm-hmm. So when the wall came down, we had all these countries representing a population of probably almost 300 million people that we could communicate to in one single language, mm-hmm. and that's the Russian. Mm-hmm. So I can't help but believe that that was in God's sovereign hand. Unlike other countries, like in China, there's just so many different dialects. But what the communists also did was they sent Russians, you know, Russian nationals to live in these countries and to populate these countries. So when the wall came down, there's still Russians living in all those countries. Many of them returned to Russia after the wall came down, but they're still living there, and their descendants and are living there as well. So in the case of Ukraine, the eastern part of the country, Ukraine, proportionally there are more Russians living there than Ukrainian nationals, where the Ukrainian nationals, the majority of the people there, are in the West. So there is an internal struggle there as Ukraine seeks to establish its own sovereignty, and they certainly are pursuing, you know, the Ukrainian language being the national language, and that's created some level of tension with the Russians living there. But again, I mean, we're in a situation where, you know, Russia's down there, you know, they're invading, and both Ukrainians as well as Russians are being impacted in Ukraine right now. It's just as simple as that. So you know, we need to continue to pray for that situation. And again, I've been in contact with the Russian Baptist Union leaders as well as the Ukrainian Baptist Union leaders, and there's still a sense of unity there. And I just we need to look beyond the political differences and recognize the importance of the church and the unity of the church. And as I shared with you earlier in our conversation offline, was that my favorite verse as it relates to my ministry is found in John 4:37-38, where Jesus says, for in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. So, you know, we view ourselves as a ministry that is entering into the labor of these faithful churches that are ministering throughout these countries. And we also are opening up opportunities for supporters and churches and, you know, listeners, you know, like who are listening to this broadcast now, mm-hmm. the opportunity for them to enter into the labor of these wonderful Christians who are bravely, you know, ministering to people in this very difficult time.
Mm. I recall, you know, when we had the privilege of having you on before, I remember something that really stayed with me was you'd mentioned that overall, there was a significant, there was quite a bit of poverty in those nations in view of the fact that the governments would spend so much on the military to the neglect of the people. Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah, I think that would be a fair statement. There is a significant amount of poverty, particularly in Russia, because, you know, basically, you know, 2/3 to 3/4 of the assets of Russia are really centered in one city, and that's Moscow. And Russia is 11.5 time zones long. So once you get out, you know, past the Ural Mountains into Siberia and Far East Russia, people are really struggling in those areas. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there is a significant amount of need. And I think when we talked, we were involved in a project during COVID, mm-hmm. and we were distributing humanitarian aid through churches all over those countries. And we ended up distributing roughly almost 6 million individual meals through these faithful churches that generated roughly 127,000 opportunities to share the gospel with families to whom those churches were ministering.
Mm-hmm. And of course, obviously, war only multiplies the problems many times over. So,
yeah, it does. Absolutely.
But praise God for the work that the churches are doing in those areas.
Yeah.
Now you were, before we came, before on the other side of the break, we were talking about the orphanages. Now, did you say too that there are quite a few orphanages in those regions?
Yes, there are quite a few orphanages all throughout Russia, Ukraine, and all the countries where we serve. And and so early on, 25 years ago, I was traveling with some of the brothers in Siberia, and they had an open door into these state-run orphanages because the directors loved it when the Christians came because of the positive impact that they had on the children, on their behavior. So we created this program, and since then, we've equipped, you know, workers to go in. I mean, they're literally going in every week, conducting Bible studies with these children and sharing the love of Christ with them and modeling what a true Christian is. And in some cases, you know, there's the Russian mafia is in there trying to recruit the kids as well. So, so there's sort of a battle for the heart and soul of these children.
Literally,
but
yes.
Tens of thousands. Yeah, tens of thousands of children over the years have been ministered to, and many, many of those kids have come to faith in Christ and now, you know, are members of churches, and many of those are workers that have gone back into the orphanages where they grew up and are ministering to the children there through this program, and we're supporting them. So, it's just, you know, these workers, they're just lights in a very dark place. You know, that God has opened the door for them to do that. And we get to invest in their ministries so that they can do it day in, day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, year in, year out. So in some cases, these kids, they drop them off at the orphanages when they're, you know, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old or younger. And they grow up in the orphanage. And every week, the church workers come in and conduct Bible studies with these kids. And so in many ways, they're growing up in a Christian home because of that.
That's good. Is there, can you pinpoint what are some of the main reasons why there are so many children in orphanages, though?
Well, it's a combination of true orphans where the parents have passed away. But the majority of them are what we'd be considered to be social orphans, and that is, you know, when there's a significant amount of dysfunction in the family, the state comes in and takes them away from the family and puts them in, in these orphans, these state-run homes, because, you know, the heavy, significant amount of alcoholism, violence in the home, and many times the families just drop the kids off at the orphanages because they can't afford to financially support them.
That's sad. But
it is sad.
That's sad. A reality, of course, that's not confined just to that region of the world, sadly. So, yes.
Okay. Absolutely.
Well, our time is just about completely gone. Any last things you'd like to share, as well as please share the website one more time for persons that would like to contribute?
Our website is SGA, and SGA stands for Slavic Gospel Association. So it's sga.org. And the information about this particular effort is on the main landing page, so it'll direct you to opportunities to financially support, as well as opportunities to pray for the ministry as well. And then you can kind of look through and see the different different kinds of ministries that we offer. Last year, we sponsored 50,000, or let me see, 40,000 children to go to attend Christian summer camp, most of whom came from unchurched families. As well as just a variety of other ministries that we are involved in our partnership with those churches. So again, it's sga.org, and I just want to thank you for the opportunity to speak with your listening audience, and I just pray that God has used what I've had to say to work in people's hearts so that they understand what's going on over there, not just based upon what they're seeing on the news, but understand what's going on over there based upon what God is doing through his church.
That's right. That's right. Well, we really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today as well, Michael. So thank you so much.
Great. Well, thank you.
All right. And as we usually do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never made the step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a great day to get saved. Today is a great day to make the step of receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you'd like to make that step, would you simply pray this prayer with me at this time? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, I repent of the wrong I've done. Please forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, I ask you, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you would have me to be. Lord, you told us in the Word of God, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we invite you to please do email us. My email is, you can either use joseph@afr.net, again, that's joseph@afr.net, or the letter J, jparker@afa.net. Either one will get to me, and we'd be glad to have you. What we'd like to do is we'd like to share with you some materials and literature that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, the email, jparker@afa.net or joseph@afr.net. And please email us and let us know that you made that step and that decision today. Or if you just want some of the discipleship materials or prayer tools we provide, we're glad to share them with you as well. Again, you've been listening to our phone guest today, Michael Johnson, the president of Slavic Gospel Association. Michael, again, thank you so much for being with us. And would you share the website one more time before we end our time today?
It's sga.org.
All right. Thank you, Michael, so much for being with us.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. And Father, we thank you for Michael. Thank you for the Slavic Gospel Association. And thank you for your hand of grace upon the ministry. Anoint them with a fresh anointing, Lord. More and more, bless them indeed. Bless the ministry indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. Pray much for the Slavic Gospel Association as well as the churches in Ukraine and in Russia and that whole region of the world. They very much need your prayers. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.